The given gospel lesson today is from the third chapter of the Gospel of John, one that's very familiar to all of us. And it begins, "And just as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned. But those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The word of God for the people of God this day. Amen. Let us pray. O God, we come here with our hearts filled with questions and maybe even some uncertainties. We come to be still. We come to be together. We come to hear a different word. So speak through your gospel that you have for us, and give us faith to know again your love and your grace for us and for all the children, for we pray these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's wonderful to be in Magnolia. I've never been here before. Driven by, but never out this close. I was telling people I've never been in a sanctuary where I could look out the window and see lobster traps stacked. Boats, sometimes, yes. There's obviously a working seaman next door. But let me begin with a story. Some of you may remember this. On a Monday, 15 years ago, the actress, who was quite well known at the time, Natasha Richardson, was in Quebec, or as I've learned to say, Quebec, taking a lesson on the beginner ski slope when she fell and hit her head. After the fall, she walked to her hotel room and was feeling fine. She refused the medical evaluation that was offered, and the news people reported later that she was laughing and joking and walked to her room on her own. About an hour after her fall, Richardson began to complain about a headache. She was taken to a nearby hospital and then transferred to the intensive care unit. Then her husband, Liam Neeson, also well known, had her flown to New York City. On Wednesday evening, Natasha Richardson, age 45, died from head trauma. I say that because 2 months ago, I was on my usual morning walk around Edgewood Retirement Community where we live. I had checked the temperature beforehand. It was above freezing. And I fell on some black ice and hit my head significantly. I don't remember 35 or 40 minutes of that day. And we spent 8 hours in the ER room. but I now have been fully recovered from my concussion, and I'm back to walking 6 or 7 miles a day. And I feel very lucky that nothing further developed from my accident, because I've now heard from others how serious that kind of a fall can be. But sometimes life has a way of changing very quickly. It doesn't favor anyone with age. It doesn't favor anyone with special economic status. And sometimes things change. I had no idea I was going to fall. In fact, I fell so quickly, I didn't even put my hands down. And so all we can figure out is that I went straight back and hit the back of my head. Well, this morning's scripture leads us to reflect on God's understanding of how much God's love is offered to us. And it's expressed in that one text that we've seen over and over again, "For God so loved." Yes, we're confronted in some sense by the power of the cross as it's lifted up in life's experiences. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's the only place in the Gospels where it speaks of Jesus as God's gift to the world. This makes it very unique. Jesus is God's self-offering on our behalf, a gift born out of God's love for the world and at no small cost to God himself. God's desire for our lives is to somehow break the cycle of sin that leads to death. God gives the gift of God's very self, if you want to use that phrase, through Jesus. For God so loved the world. Jesus has come that you and I might have life and have it in its fullness. The phrase, eternal life. We've heard that over and over again. And Jesus uses it not simply about the extension of life or a time beyond life. He talks about the quality of life itself. The fullness of life that is not reserved when life somehow comes to an end, but is a part of life every day. And when you and I believe in Jesus Christ and we make that commitment to the Lord as well as our Savior, we find new birth and new life. For God so loved is the way the phrase goes. We've read that phrase over and over again. We've seen it on the end zones of football games. We've seen it on placards at a basketball game and so on. But what's the story really about? It's about a man named Nicodemus. Do we know much about him? Well, we know a few things. He was obviously highly educated. He was a prominent citizen in Jerusalem. And he came visiting Jesus in the darkness of night. He was part of the power structure. He could not bring himself to publicly associate with this Galilean preacher. No, Jesus was from Nazareth. He wasn't one of the aristocrats. He wasn't one of the ones who were trained in the Jerusalem synagogue and the rabbis that were there. So as we hear this story, we're encouraged to make a sense out of what God was doing through Jesus Christ, responding to this man Nicodemus. We are children of God. Yes, and like Jesus, the parent God is willing to allow, in this case, one of his children to die for the sake of the rest of the children, including us. Nicodemus was wary, and so he was sneaking around in the back of the synagogue. He sat in the shadows, maybe in the last pew. He waited till everyone else had gotten up and gone home for the day. He comes with his questions. And Jesus appears to understand what's laying heavy on his heart that day. And Nicodemus probably missed the point of the conversation. He was interested in receiving light for his life, and yet didn't quite find it, giving him credit forever because he seemed to know something important was missing in his own life, and he felt Jesus might know how he might find that. Have you ever wondered in your own life some days what's missing? I have. I think we've all had those doubts at times. Well, Jesus attempted to help Nicodemus discover what was missing in his life because he represents, in some sense, the universal human condition. What was missing in his life? We're not absolutely sure, but it appears to be a real presence of the Spirit of God. Nicodemus, like all of us, was born both physically and every way possible, and yet that spiritual life within him wasn't very much alive at all. He had a faint sense of it, but he still didn't have a full grasp of it. And this is the kind of question we wrestle with during Lent often. Do we leave this season different than when we began? As we walk the journey of our faith through the Lenten season, do we open ourselves to hear a cock crowing in the distance, or maybe waves rolling in the distance, to feel the loving arms of God around us that won't allow us to continue in the ways we have been going? Do we ask the questions that allow us to really examine the response of our lives to the presence of Christ? Through Christ, light has come into the world. Light that illumines the darkness. Light that allows for new beginnings. Light that roots out evil even in our society. Light that gives us hope for tomorrow. And courage even for today. Our obligation is to open our lives in ways that light shines in on us and even through us to the broken and needy world around us. Our faith teaches us that the cross of God's great and loving response comes through our love to the brokenness of our world. We talk about Jesus Christ as the one who has claim on our lives, for God so loved the world, despite all of our imperfections and our pains. Where was Nicodemus coming from, literally, in this encounter? Everything about him suggests that he was a good and conscientious follower of the law. He was a teacher in the laws of God. He had risen to the membership in what was then called the Sanhedrin, the gathering of the Hebrew temple, the supreme religious unit of the government in Jerusalem. The impossibility, however, of keeping the law without fail had become a burden, obviously, on his own heart. There was no more joy in what he was living. And Jesus had discerned that this man was truly committed to God, but needed some new directions. Yes, Jesus had discerned that this man was every bit committed to God, maybe as he was. Yet Jesus exhibited a different kind of freedom, a sense of joy, a sense of confidence about life and God's presence in his own life. And Nicodemus was observing this and experiencing something that he knew he needed. And he wanted to come to terms with those secrets, if you will, that Jesus had. Jesus told him that the secret lies in coming to know that he does not need to keep the law as a regiment, as if that is the way he's going to obtain eternal life. Nicodemus needed to believe that he was already being constantly bathed in the love and grace of God. For God so loved the world, it's kind of a mystery at that point. And yet everything we do seeks to control that mystery through our own accomplishments. Yeah, we didn't know it, but we're really control freaks most of the time. We seek predictability, we avoid risks, we try to steer clear of what we would identify as dangers in life. We try to be in control and think we can literally put things together and save our own selves. And yet it is by God's love that we are saved. And the miracle of the gospel is that God's love is literally a free gift. No special stamps are needed, no coupons. There's no senior discount. There's no special place to go. For God so loved the world is undeserved, unmerited, unembellished by any effort of our own. God literally stands waiting in the shadows of the cross to give to each one of us, to you and to me. For God so loved. Yes, God's love redeems us from the brokenness of our lives and that of our world, to fill us with the music of life. Jesus sets us free from what binds us in fear, what fills us instead with hope and joy and with peace that passes, that peace that passes all understanding. Yes. And when we go through the season of Lent, we define it as a time. And we sometimes call it a time of self-evaluation. Even use the word repentance sometimes. It implies that we will end it in a different place than where we began. We're now in the fourth week. The point of the Lenten experience is to somehow reshape and bring us to new realizations, to make us different people than when we began back in February. It's all about how that love is being reflected and detected by our own lives, to hearing the moments, maybe when that cock crows, or when God's love is wrapped around us in a way that brings us comfort. God so loved you and me. God so loved our world, now and always. Amen.